Genesis chapter 12, three promises God made to Abraham. What are they? Land, nation, and seed. That's right. We're going to be studying them in the order, beginning with the nation promise, as it becomes the first in fulfillment. The promise that was made to Abraham involved a long distance of travel for him. How far did he travel, and where did he travel from and to? Lynn? All right. That's right. He traveled simply because God said go. Left where he was to go where God said. Yes, David? No. Well, yes. Yes, God called them a nation before they went into the land. In fact, we'll look at that in Genesis chapter 19. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. God, after he brought them out of the Egyptian slavery, called them himself a holy nation. Yes. So they were a nation before then. Here's your 600 miles. Here's your 400 miles going down into Shechem. Yes. Yes, when they came up out of Egypt. Yes. Yes, much later. In fact, 400 years later, four generations down the pike, as we see in Genesis chapter 15, where that particular land is identified from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. And God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, when he asked, how shall I know that I shall receive it? You'll note then beginning in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 15. This is one I would really like for you to underline again if you do that in your Bible. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. We read about them coming out with great substance over in Exodus chapter 12, coming up out of Egypt. And in chapter 19 of Exodus, verses 5 and 6, God himself calls them a holy nation. So it was during this period of servitude in Egypt that they developed into that great nation of people. No. That was to be part of the land. And we'll talk about that when we get over to Joshua chapter 11, and then in Joshua chapter 21. We see where they conquered all of it, Joshua said. Yeah. No. That is interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that is interesting. You know, the definition of the lands should mean something, shouldn't it, if we're going to look at the text? Yes. All right, as we get to Genesis chapter 16, when God promised unto Abraham that he was going to make of him a great nation, Abraham didn't have any children. And as we come to Genesis chapter 16, we see that Abram's wife, Sarah, had an idea to help God out. What was her idea? All right, take Hagar, the handmaid, and have a child by her. Of course, that was not the plan of God to fulfill the promise that he had made through Hagar, but there was a child born by Hagar. What was his name? Ishmael. And God said that there would be a nation come from Ishmael, the Ishmaelites. And of course, we note that they were constantly, it seemed, in trouble with, or the Israelites were constantly having problems with the Ishmaelites. We've noted that the angels visit Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he treated them well, and they told him that he and Sarah would indeed have a son. In Genesis chapter 17, there beginning in verse 15, and that Sarah would be the mother of nations. The mother of nations. And of course, when Abraham learned this or heard this, it tells us at verse 17 that he laughed. In verse 11, also Sarah laughed, but not in unbelief. Two passages I want you to remember as we talk about this, Romans 4 and Hebrews 11. In Romans chapter 4, what do we learn about Abraham's faith, though he is nigh unto 100 years old? What did he believe about what God had promised? He believed God, that he would have a child. His faith wavered not, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4, even though he was an old man. What about Sarah? She laughed because she did not believe God. How do we know? Hebrews 11 tells us what? About verse 11, thereabouts. Hebrews 11, verse 11, what's it say? Who has it for me? Everybody waiting on somebody else. Bruce, would you read for me Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 11? All right, what's that tell us? She's past the time in life to have children. Verse 12 says, wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Both Abraham and Sarah believed what God said. Now, we might speculate about why they laughed. It wasn't because it was funny. Perhaps because it was funny strange to have a child in old age, but not because it was humorous necessarily. All right, these angels that appear to Abraham, they travel to Sodom and Gomorrah on a mission to destroy this wicked place. And we've talked about Lot back in Genesis chapter 13. Also in chapter 19, we especially talked about how that fire and brimstone would come from heaven, or did come from heaven, and destroyed those wicked cities. Who escaped from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot and his two daughters. What about his wife? Didn't make it, did she? Why not? Pardon me? All right, unbelief, she looked back. That's right, we read more about that in Luke chapter 17. A point in I want you to notice just here is what happened to Lot's sons-in-laws. They stayed. Right, they didn't believe. They stayed. That's right. And suffered the consequences, of course. And Lot's two daughters, the text tells us that they committed incest with their father Lot. Each of them had a son by him, Moab and Ammon, the Moabites and the Ammonites. We've talked about those in the latter part of chapter 19. There's Moab on the screen between the Arnon and the Zered River. And there is Ammon, just to the east, I guess it would be, of Gad, on the edge of the Jabbok River. And, of course, they looked back over into this area and saw that they were in the arid area near to the Arabian Desert. And just to their border was the rich cattle grazing land of Gilead. And so consequences seem to ensue with the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Israelites, constant sources of thorn in the flesh, as it were. And here on this map, you see the overall location of the Moabites and the Ammonites. Okay? Just to give us an idea where they are. Any questions or comments just here? All right, let's move on just a little bit. When we talk about Abraham, we know that Abraham, in chapter 20, the text tells us that he journeyed from thence toward the land of the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in, Richard, pronounce that one more time for me. Chapter 20, verse 1. Gerar? Okay, I got it right. This is good. Abraham moved south to the city of Gerar. And I want you to look again at Genesis chapter 12. Back up, if you will. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 10. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 10 through the remainder of this chapter, we learn that there was a famine, and Abram went down to into Egypt and stayed there because of the famine. And the point I was looking for, I just lost it. Well, I love it when that happens. I just lost my point. Well, it'll come back to me, I guess. Oh, I remember. In Genesis chapter 12, Abram gets into it with Pharaoh because he's lied about Sarah, remember? And now in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham lies again to Abimelech, king of Gerar, whom he also says is his sister. And when Abimelech finds out about it, what does he do? Pardon me? Well, things are not good. Things are not good. And you see why. This is the second time Abraham has lied about the identity of Sarah, or Sarai, as she's called. Yes. Yes, plague came upon him because of his lying about the identity of his wife. Yes. She really was his half-sister, the daughter of his father, but not his mother, so a half-sister. But how shall we say that? Do you tell a half-truth? Yeah, a half-truth translates into a lie. Okay. All right, so that's what he did. That's right. Bruce, and I saw another hand, I think. Randy. Well, when you go back to Genesis 12, is where we read of the plague. It says, beginning in verse 15, of Genesis 12, and the princess of Pharaoh saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house, and he dealt well with Abram for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And Jehovah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. Now, it doesn't tell us what these plagues were. I don't know. It just tells us that they were plagued. Now, as you come over to the 20th chapter with Abimelech, in verse 5, he said not himself, or said he not himself unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother, in the integrity of my heart, and the innocency of my hands have I done this. What are we reading? A conversation essentially between God and Abimelech. And God said unto him, verse 6, in the dream, yea, I know that in the integrity of thy heart thou hast done this, and I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now, what did Abimelech do? All right, he waited till next month to do it. All right, he rose early in the next morning and took care of this and got this thing set straight. Now, if you drop down further into the text to chapter 21, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot you too, Randy. I'm sorry. Well, the problem was Sarah, as she was later called, was very beautiful. And Abraham was afraid that they would take her if she was known to be his wife. Well, sound reasonable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then she wouldn't be anybody's wife. Look, if you will, at verse 12, Joey. Well, look at verse 12. Genesis 12, 12. It says, "And it will come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall, or will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and that my soul may live because of thee." There's your answer. Randy? Yeah. Well, you know, sufficient time for mourning and so forth would give it the appearances of being a good thing. Yes. David and then Bruce. Yeah. All right. All right. All right. Well, that's true. And, of course, we can see why the famine that was widespread, obviously. Egypt had the Nile and so forth to have some water. But now, during the time of Jacob and Joseph and the sons, if it were not for Joseph, there would not have been grain in Egypt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Different reasons creates the setting, doesn't it? All right. Go, if you will, now to Genesis chapter 21. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 21. It says, "And Jehovah visited Sarai," or Sarah, as she's called here, "as he had said, and Jehovah did unto Sarah as he had spoken." That's important. Let's back up and see what he had said. Go back, if you will, to chapter 17. Chapter 17. And let's begin reading in verse 15. Randy, would you read for me? Well, begin at verse 19. That'll shorten the reading and still get our point. Verse 19 through 21, please. Mm-hmm. Notice the time frame. Sarah will bear to you a son. His name's going to be Isaac, and it's going to be at this set time in the next year. Was God specific? Yes. Turn to 21 now and look at verse 2. 2 and 3, please. Randy? Isn't that interesting? At the very time, interestingly enough, this was within about a year of the time that Sarah laughed. God did just exactly what he said that he would do. Later, Abraham moves. How's that? Well, going back to chapter 16. I'm sorry, chapter. Ishmael was about 14 at the time that. Yeah. Well, let me think just a minute. When we go back to chapter 16, we've got the birth of Ishmael. You see in the first several verses of that chapter. And then in chapter 17, Abraham is told that he's going to have a son. Of course, he's been told in Genesis 12 that he's going to become a great nation. And in Genesis 18, Sarah laughed. And then in Genesis 21, we've got the birth of Isaac, following on the heels there of chapter 17. Pardon me? Well, I'll have to think now and put that on the timeline. Chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. Well, you've got Ishmael in chapter 16, and then Ishmael circumcised in chapter 17. And Randy, you did a calculation of numbers last time that gave us the age that Ishmael was when Isaac was born. He was 14, and I have forgotten. 16. Okay, there you go. Looking for numbers. Okay. All right. And then you've got, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. There we are. We've got Abraham chapter 17, verse 1, 90 years and 9 when God appeared to him and told him that he would be the father of many nations, changed his name, verse 5, issued the covenant of circumcision, verse 9, and then assured him once again in verse 16 that he's going to have a child. And then Ishmael is circumcised. Verse 23, how old was he? All right, verse 25, he was 13 years old. There's your numbers, Carolyn. Within a year of the time then that Sarah laughed, chapter 18, Isaac is born, chapter 21. Where is Sarah first told? Now that I don't know. That is true. Genesis 12. Now, yeah, I see. I don't have any evidence that she laughed the first time that this was communicated to her. Fact is, I don't know when it was first communicated to her. Abraham, God was speaking to in Genesis chapter 12. He was speaking to Abraham. Unless there's some information I'm overlooking, I don't have knowledge of the first time that Sarah knew about this. Well, that was made to Abraham. God was not speaking to Sarah. I don't know. It tells us in chapter 12, verse 1, that Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. In verse 5, Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. So we know that Sarah knows that they're leaving Ur in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 18:12. Oh, yes, that's true. Yes, I don't know of but one instance where it's recorded that Sarah laughed, and I don't know of but one instance where it's recorded that Abraham laughed. Yeah. Genesis in chapter 17. Yes, we've got that. You mean the angels come? Well, evidently so. Now, let's get back two or three things. One is the laughing part. As far as Abraham is concerned, as far as I know, it only records he did that once. Sarah, same thing. Only knowledge I have is that that occurred once. I have no knowledge at all of any specifics of God communicating to Sarah that she's going to have a son prior to what we see in Genesis 12 or even Abraham communicating that to her in Genesis 12. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. The thing we've got to look at is Abraham's age if we're trying to calculate numbers and compare that to Sarah's age. We know that Abraham was how old when Isaac was born? 100. And how old was he, or how old was Sarah when Isaac was born? 90. All right, now if you want to do the numbers, count backwards. I'm not the best one to do this because I'm not the calculator in the family. But John, just give me a second here. When we get back over to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he was 75 years old when the promise was made that he was going to be the father of Isaac, through which a great nation would come. And then when you get to the 16th chapter, we've got the relationship between Abram and Hagar, and that, of course, results in Ishmael. And then when Abraham was 99 years old, chapter 17, verse 1, he's again told that he's going to be the father of a multitude, father of a nation. And then when Isaac is born, he is 100. And then over here in the 18th chapter, we've got Sarah being old, and the text tells us that she's, where's the number I was looking for? I need to mark these as I go. Where she was 90. Just do the math on that. Let me get John and then David.
So, chapter 16, verse 16.
We looked at it a moment ago then. Yeah, there it is. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. Oh, yeah. She had to know. Yeah. 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 Why, sure, she has to know. But what I'm suggesting is when asked what passage tells us this, I don't know of one. It just doesn't record that part of it, the conversation that Abram had with her. Okay, David, you got me on the passage. And Bruce, question, comment? Yeah, there you are. So you just have to do the math in finding these passages. I don't know but one time that it indicates that Sarah or Abraham laughed. Their ages are mentioned. But be that as it may, I don't know if that clarifies things for you, Carolyn, there or not.
For some reason, I was thinking that the events happened in closer to 60.
No, no. I wouldn't have any way of knowing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew it was some time earlier, but I hadn't, frankly, done all of the math either. John? Well, the communication that she would have had would have been through Abraham, but that happened in chapter 18. Yeah, chapter 18. Yeah, it doesn't answer all the questions, but have to put it on a timeline. So we've got Abraham moving to Gerar. Isaac is born. Abraham later moves to a place called Beersheba. Beersheba becomes a place I want you to remember as well as Dan in the northern extremity of the land of Canaan, because Dan and Beersheba mark the northern and the southern boundaries of the land that God promised unto Abraham. So the fact that Abraham later moves here is very significant in our study. Also, I want you to note that, there was another thought I had on that, where Beersheba was located. I've lost that thought. It'll come to me, maybe. All right? God told Abraham, here we go, this is one of the points I wanted to make, but not just yet. Drop down, if you will, to the point I was wanting to make is in the latter part of chapter 21. The latter part of chapter 21. Oh, by the way, what was, what did Sarah do when Isaac began to grow up with Hagar and Ishmael? Pardon me? Didn't want them around. All right, that's right. So where's Hagar going to go to? Off into the desert. What does she do with her child? That's right. No more water. Puts him under a bush. Verse 15. What does she intend to do? Die. That's exactly right. The latter paragraph of chapter 21 tells us about Abimelech and Abraham, and the covenant that they made. Of course, when we talk about Abimelech and Abraham, we need to be aware that Abraham was, for lack of a better term, the captain of a fairly good-sized army. You remember that he and his went down to rescue Lot and chased the five kings of Mesopotamia back home and beyond. And so when he's in the land here with Abimelech, it's quite important that they learn to get along. And so what do? Look at verse 20 and 21. I'm sorry, 30 and 31. Verse 31, specifically. Wherefore he called the name of called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the captain of his host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. In other words, they agree we're going to get along in this land. They make a covenant between them. But in chapter 22, now we got a problem. Chapter 22, the familiar lesson of Abraham and his young son Isaac, when God said unto Abraham, get thee up, and go where? And do what? Sacrifice your son. Sacrifice your son. Now, Carolyn, let's get back on our timeline just a little bit here. We're down the pike quite some distance. We know in this text, when God says in verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Tells us that Abraham rose early in the morning and took care of all of this, made preparations to do that. How old is Isaac? Don't think too hard on that. That's not really a trick question. All right, a lad or a young man. We're not talking about a child that's 8 days old. We're not talking about a child that's a year old. We're talking about some time has passed here. Now, most of us have had children. What generally happens? Yeah, but what condition is he in? No. I would think so. What kind of shape, Ben, you brought this up, Jenny, what kind of shape is Ishmael in? Look at verse 15. Pardon me? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it says the water's all gone. And so she cast him under there. I mean, this is, it's all over as far as she is concerned. She said, let me not look upon the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Now, most of us would look upon a 13, 14, 15-year-old child that's in this kind of shape, and indeed, they would be a child. What are they going to do out here in this barren desert wilderness? The water's all gone. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what she did. That's what she did. Now, what is it that Abraham's about to do with his teenage boy? Or likely teenage. Pardon me? He's going to kill him. Offer him as a sacrifice. Why is he going to do that? Now, this is not hard, folks. He's going to take this boy and kill him because God said do it. Now, why was Abraham willing to do that? What did God say to Abraham that Abraham believed? He would multiply. That's right. How is that going to happen if I kill this boy? He figured God could raise him up. Now, if you're taking notes, you write that one down. Hebrews chapter 11, turn to it. Begin at verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. What's it say, Randy, please? What did he believe God could do? Raise people from the dead. You mean Abraham is willing to kill his son, believing that God can raise him from the dead and still make of him a great nation? Still fulfill the promise, in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. So he's pulling the knife back, ready to take his life. Yes, sir, that's exactly right. Believing that God could raise him from the dead, even if he killed him. And so he's making preparation to do that. I want you to look at your text again at Genesis 22. Joy, would you mind to read this for me, please? Very impressive. I want us to see this. And again, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Genesis 22. Read for me verse 5. Genesis 22, verse 5. All right, Ken, I'm going to pick your brain. You ready? Okay. He's not too... when Abraham tells these people that have gone with him, his servants, I and the lad will go yonder, and then what are we going to do? We're going to come back. How does he know that? All right, God made a promise. I'm going to make of you a great nation of people. In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Your descendants are going to live in this land that's defined by these borders. So these servants of Abraham that go with him so far, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we're going to come again. Now Abraham believes that. Even if it means God raising him from the dead, he's going to kill him. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have, to believe what God said. Now, this passage tells us in verse 2 of Genesis 22 that I want you to get to the land of Moriah. I don't know precisely where that is, the exact location of Moriah, but some believe that it's the site where the temple was built. You can take that and run with it if you want to. That's not really our point. But what we do want to note is the faith that Abraham had and how that an angel of the Lord stayed his hand, and so he did not kill his son, and then he returned to Beersheba and then to Hebron. I want you again to see that these are familiar areas that Abraham is in. He has been here before. Okay, this is where he was before he went to Mount Moriah. Now, I want you to look on this map, if you would, please. And we know that as Abraham gets older, what happens to his beautiful wife? She dies. Let's turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23. Beginning in verse 1. Genesis 23, verse 1. The life of Sarah and was 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. I want to pause right there and go back and pick up something that I failed to get in chapter 22. Back up, if you will, to verse 17. After Abraham has proven the faith that he has, what did God then say to him? Verse 17. All right, look at it. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and, of course, went back to Beersheba. Now, looking at this text, God simply renews the promise that he had made with Abraham. In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed, and make of you a great nation. This is what was promised before. Now we see that repeated. In Genesis 23 now, Sarah dies 127 years old, and it tells us that Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now we need a place to bury her. What does he do? Buys a cave of Machpelah in Hebron. Abraham pays the price, and this becomes, I want you to remember this too, this becomes the burying place of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah. So this becomes the place of the father's sepulchers, place of honor. We're going to have some more to say about that in just a moment. Of course, this particular man is quite some distance from where the Hittites hail from. Yes, David? All right. Exactly. All right. Well, Abraham arranged for Isaac. Take a wife from the region of Mesopotamia, not the daughters of the Canaanites. Wonder why. All right, what did the Canaanites do? They worshiped idols. Note that Rebekah came and found Isaac living in, that's your word, Richard. That's the very word that I said I was going to have you pronounce. That's exactly right. Very good. Excellent. Thank you. You did a fine job with that. But, anyhow, it tells us in the South. I want to call your attention to this expression, in the South, typically used, at least in this portion of our study, to indicate the desert or arid lands of Negev. Chapter 24, there at verse 62, and you'll also see in chapter 25 and in verse 11. Okay? This is Genesis 24, Genesis 25. Reach back there and swat it, will you, Julie? Yeah. Punctuation, everything. Don't put dashes on. You all are just determined to be difficult tonight. Good class. Travels of Abraham. I've got about how long? About 4 minutes? Let's see if I can do this. okay? Push. All right, look carefully at this map. Here's Abraham, Ur of Chaldees. Travels about 600 miles to go to Haran. He takes flocks and herds, and Lot goes along with him to Haran. We also note that Abraham's brother evidently goes along because he stays in Haran. And then Abraham goes on down 400 miles and settles in Shechem. Here's where Abraham settled. Larger map of the land of Palestine or Canaan. Follow me, if you will, with these lines. We know that he came down from Shechem and he settled down between Bethel and Ai. Then he headed south to this area, Negev, and when he was there, what happened? Famine. Where'd he go? He went to Egypt. He was there for some time. We know it was about 200 miles over to Egypt, and then he comes back from Egypt after he has lied about the identity of Sarai. Pharaoh throws him out, as it were. He comes back to this very place where he'd set up the altar at Bethel, and then, of course, there is a decision that has to be made regarding the separation of the flocks and the herds of Lot and Abram, or Abraham, as we're going to call him. And then Abraham comes down to Hebron, where we see this decision being made, the Oaks of Mamre. And then when Lot is in trouble and is taken captive by the five kings of the Mesopotamians, Abraham comes to his rescue with his small army. Call it a small army. It was, 130-some-odd people, fighting men? I've forgotten the exact number. But Lot has pitched his tent here in the city of Sodom, identifying the watered plains as being greater. And then Abraham, of course, when he comes to the rescue, he follows the kings of Mesopotamia, or drives them out, back up to Dan, and then on up beyond Damascus to a place called Hobah. Now, when that's all done, he rescues Lot and his family, and where does he come? He comes right back to Bethel. You see that? And now we've got all these folks there, and we've got to do something. Genesis 16. Don't want to forget that. Genesis 16. Here's your word, Richard. Did good. Well, I keep putting you to the test on you're going to miss it. Did good. So Hagar, she flees to here when she finds out that she is not wanted by Sarah. And God tells her, no, you go home. I'm going to bless Ishmael. Abraham is now in Hebron, the Oaks of Mamre. This is chapter 18, verse 1. We'll just note that in passing. So here we are again. Stay with me on the map. Coming back from Egypt, the Oaks of Mamre, down to rescue Lot. Yes, sir? 318. I knew it was 300 and something. I wasn't sure exactly. Then here's Abraham and Lot and the family coming back. Here's Abraham going to Gerar, as we just studied, then to Beersheba. Genesis 21, and then he goes back up to offer his son at Mount Moriah, which is believed to be Jerusalem. Then he comes back to the area of Sheba, then goes back to Hebron, where buried cave Peter. The end. Yes, sir. Says go to the land of Moriah, to the one of the mountains. Now, I put all this up here because though we saw these on individual slides, look at the land that we're talking about. Abraham has traveled 1,000 miles to get to Shechem. And now look at all the traveling that he's done in the land. He's all over the place. And we've got this land, what, 150 miles long, thereabouts, and about 75 or so miles wide at the widest part. I want you to see the land and be familiar.